John chapter 15, verse 7 and 8. Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right. John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. We are going to start reading in verse 5. And then verse 8 tells us the third mark of a disciple. So the Bible says this. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your beautiful word. God, I ask that you would help us to focus and remove any distraction and allow us, God, to grab a hold of your word this morning. We want to be fruitful people, people that bear good fruit onto others, and that we display your glory. Have your way in me. Remove me as I preach your word. I ask that you would speak to your people, God. They came needing a word this morning. I pray for encouragement. I pray that you would help us get closer, God, to who you want us to be. I love you. I thank you. I need you. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. So the third mark of a disciple, according to the Bible, says one who bears much fruit. And when we bear fruit, we will prove or show ourselves to be his disciples. So this morning, that's what we're going to look at. And I think this is heavy because when you first read these scriptures, you know, I didn't grow up in church. So to hear this lingo, bear fruit, most people would agree, well, what does it mean to bear fruit, right? Kind of wave at me, right? So that's what we're going to look at. In order to truly understand what God was talking about, we have to go ahead and define what he meant. But what does it mean to bear fruit? Well, the fruit of our life speaks of our actions and the results they produce. I'm going to say that again. The fruit of one's life speaks of their actions and the result they produce. You know that every action you make produces some sort of result? Every action you make produces a result. And the result of that action speaks of the fruit of your life. Now, when we look at the fruit according to the Bible tells us that there's two types of fruit. There is fruit that is produced of the world or of the flesh, and then there are fruits that are produced of the spirit. And Galatians 5, 16, 18 gives us greater insight. It says, so I say, walk by the spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary or what is opposite to the spirit. And the spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. So you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then immediately after, it goes on to talk about the fruit of the flesh. So this is what the fruits of the flesh is. In other words, when we're not in the Spirit of God, or when we're not tapped into the vine, or we're not living a lifestyle of godliness, these are the fruits of the world or the fruits of the flesh. You ready? It says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. They are sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord or disunity, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, and dissensions and fractions. That's the fruit of the flesh. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is found in verses 22 and 23. The Bible says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, our actions produce some of these fruits. One way or another, our actions will develop some sort of a fruit. My question to you this morning, what does your life produce? What kind of fruit does it produce? Now, we know what kind of fruit it produces at church. Come on, somebody. But I want to know what kind of fruit is produced at home or in the workplace. Because every now and then, if we're not careful, we can become products of our environment. We're living in a day and age where it's very easy to become a product of our environment. That's because of today, right? The Bible says that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light. You and I have to understand the God of this age. We cannot conform to the patterns of this world, but we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to be people that allow God to change the way that we think. How? By reading the Word of God, allowing Him to grow our faith, root us in the Word, because the Bible says faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And when we allow the Word of God to come into our spirit, it will eventually produce good fruit. See, reading the Bible and listening to the Word of God should not be something that we do only on Sunday morning. It's not something that we should do just on Wednesday night. But I'm talking about living a lifestyle where we want to hear the Word of God. This is why, for example, these podcasts are so important. You know, on the podcast, on my podcast, I have over 15 different churches, and I follow different pastors. And when I'm riding in the car, I listen to messages, because if I woke up on the wrong side of the bed that morning, come on, somebody. On my way to work, right? On my way to work, I'm listening to the Word of God, and it's encouraging my spirit. And sometimes it convicts my thought process. It convicts the lack of patience in my life. It convicts the pride in my life. Come on, somebody. Don't look at me like that. Some of you got this, right? Right. But the Word of God has the ability to produce good fruit and cut off the bad. The Word of God should convict our life and challenge us to change. Now, woe to us if we ever get to a place where we start preaching that goosebump type feel good messages. Right, but I'm talking about preaching the uncut Word of God in a dying world where lawlessness, wickedness is at its all-time high. You and I need to identify ourselves by the fruits of the Spirit, which is simply walking out the truth of God's Word. We need to take a stand for what is right and not conform. Just because they do it doesn't mean we do it. Just because the world says it's okay doesn't mean we lower our standards. We live at a different place because the anointing of God costs us something. As disciples of God, we should be marked by the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. This is important to know, because when the fruits of the Spirit are evident in our life, we bring glory to God. When the fruits of the Spirit are evident in our life, we bring glory to God. Why? Because people that don't believe, people that don't know the Word of God may not ever come to church, but they'll see God in you. How? By the fruits of the Spirit. They won't understand your patience. They won't understand your love. They won't understand your second, third, fourth, fifth chance. And they will want to know, what is it in you that will allow you to remain in peace when all hell is breaking loose? What is it inside of you that keeps a smile on your face? Because I know how much you get paid. Come on, somebody. I know how much you get paid. I know how much I get paid, and I'm not happy. Come on, somebody. Because we're not driven by money. We're not driven by how we feel. We're driven by the Spirit of God and the Word which had been preached to us, which we know that God has a plan for our life. And the Bible says that that plan is to give you hope and a future. So guess what? No matter what you're going through right now, I got good news that it's not going to stay that way, because the plan is good for your life. God can take any mess, baby, and turn it around and give Him glory. You just got to stick the course. You got to deal with who you are, what you are, and where you're going, and know that God has you on a process and that there is a plan for your life. God's going to use you. God's going to use your family. God's going to use your situation to bring glory to His name. See, that should give somebody hope, because when I came to God, I was like, what would God want with me? Man, what would God want with me? But thank God for men that preach the good news. Thank God for men that inspired me. Then say, man, I see one day you're going to preach the gospel. I was like, me? You're crazy. You're going to preach the gospel. Even when I was at my worst. You're going to, you know what? God has a plan for your life. And in the back of my mind, when I was out there, when I was out doing things I wasn't supposed to, those words, the words of a person who was full of the Spirit of love and of forbearance, which is patience. They had patience with me. Those words anchored in my heart. And later, when times got tough, it gave me the perseverance to press through. When we bear good fruit, not only do we glorify God, but Jesus himself said, we will show ourselves to be his disciples. Now, I already kind of touched on it, but imagine what it looks like to the world if we call ourselves disciples and all the fruit of our life speaks of is what the Bible says, impurity, idolatry, evil, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions. As disciples, listen, we need to examine our actions and our hearts and make a 180 turn. We need to constantly examine where we're at in life. We're not, you know, because you can be a moral person but still be full of hatred. You can be a moral person, meaning you don't do things bad onto others, but you still live with judgment in your heart. It's very easy to be a good person, have integrity, but walk by the person who's needy on the street. It's very easy to build your house up and truly forget what God said about the Good Samaritan and helping the one that is struggling when you clearly see, you know what, man, I should, man, God's putting in my heart. Whether you're at the grocery store, whether you're at school, whether you're at work, you see somebody going through something, but in the back of your mind, man, it's okay. You're a good person. We do good at home and we do good in the church, but we walk away and are numb to the voice of God when he says, go help that one. I'm talking about matching our actions with what we believe and what we say. Because sometimes there is a gap in our theology and what we actually believe or what we do. And I say a gap in our theology because we say things like, go into all the world and make disciples, but there's a gap in our actions if we're not making disciples and if that's what we're preaching. But I'm talking about aligning them together so that we can be effective as a church. Because if we're going to be effective, that means everybody taking their place and discipling in one form or another. Did you know that you don't necessarily have to be the super leader or super preacher to be a discipler? All you have to do is work with someone that knows less than you and teach them what God has taught you, and you can make an impact. God knows what kind of an impact. You might not ever get behind the pulpit and preach the gospel, but what if you impact the one who might take a city one day and become a pastor? What if God uses you at the coffee station or at Starbucks because you invited somebody out to coffee, you just had a conversation with them, inspired them to be all that God called them to be, and because of that talk, they become pastors. They go out to the world and win people. I'm talking about making little impacts that will eventually change the world. And as disciples, true disciples, we need to bear this type of fruit. And this is important because you got to know this. You will be known by your fruit. You will be known by your fruit. Years ago, one of the guys that was really teaching me and discipling me, he said, Eric, you can't argue with fruit. Because I was real young. I was young in the Lord, maybe a year, but I think I was pointing fingers at somebody. I don't like the way he does things. And man, he talks to people crazy. And then you know what the guy told me? He said, but Eric, you might not agree with his methods, but you can't argue with fruit. And I was like, what do you mean? Look at the fruit of his life. He's effective. He's growing his ministry. He has disciples. And I thought to myself, wow, what a concept. You can't argue with fruit. So we can say we want to do these things, but my question to you is that the fruit that's being birthed out of your life? Because at the end of the day, if we say one thing and our fruit is producing other, you can't argue with the result. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Are you getting something? But there's good news in all this. I want to talk to you about how to bear fruit. Jesus said in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. How do we remain in him? By remaining in his word. When we allow the word of God to penetrate in our heart, we bear much fruit. And when the word of God is living and it's active in our life, we will then bear the fruit that identifies us as men and women of God. When we allow the word of God to fall on good soil, when we allow it to fall on good ears, and we by faith put it into practice, we begin to display ourselves as men and women of God, which will eventually cause people to identify God is with us. Now you got to know this when it comes to the Word of God. People all respond to the Word of God differently. Why? Because we're all at different places in our walk with God, and we're all at different places in life. Now, that's not to say that some are greater than the other, but I want to talk to you about the four different ways people process the Word of God according to what the Bible says. Because there were a couple times in the gospel where Jesus spoke in parables to not only the disciples but to the crowd, and he talked about how there are four different ways people actually process the Word of God, and I want to tell them to you today. That's found in Matthew 13, verses 1 through 12. And just follow along with me as we read. But there are four ways people respond to the Word of God. And they're found in this story. It says this. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into the boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant the seeds. As he scattered them across the field, some seed fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because of the soil was shallow. Verse number 6, but the plants soon withered under the sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil. Someone say fertile soil. Fertile soil. And they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as was planted. Now according to the Bible, and according to this scripture, it talks about seeds that were being scattered on four different grounds. And we're going to look at those four types of soil. It's called the soils, the four soils. Some, the Bible says, were hardened, others shallow, others contaminated with distractions, and some were receptive. But when you look at the first seed fell on the path. Now later on, if you read in the story, in a few scriptures later, he actually gives the interpretation of what this meant. So I'm going to paraphrase it for you. You can go ahead and read it later in the same chapter. But when he talks about the first seed that fell on the path, what that represents was those who heard the message did not understand it, and later the evil one came and stole the word that was planted in their hearts. You got to know that when the Word of God goes out, this is one way and one of the battles people go against. The Word of God goes out, God encourages your heart, but the minute you walk out and go home, come on somebody, the evil one is there ready to take your word. See, this morning you got to fight for your word. You got to fight for your promise. When you come to church and God speaks to your heart, you feel it evident in your life, you got to fight for that word. In spite of what your circumstance says, in spite of what you go through, you got to say, no, God told me that I would be a preacher. God told me I was called to go. You got to stick to that word. You got to fight to keep it. Not just because the enemy's going to come and throw the kitchen sink at you. Are we going to be like, here's my word, take it? But I'm talking about standing for what's right. Standing for what's yours. Fighting the enemy for your family. If God said your kid's going to be saved, I got good news for you. You stick to it. Listen, I'm living proof. You got to stick to fighting for your children. Which I want to apologize because I actually got to acknowledge my family's here. My mom's here. And my mom, my second mom, Tia Thelma, and my Aunt Elizabeth. And I acknowledge them because many of you have heard my story that I'm a result and a product of a praying mom. She can tell you about when I was battling with the call of God upon my life. For 3 years, constantly up and down, constantly just, I would follow God and then I'd walk away from God. And I remember specifically one time, God had spoken to me, man. God had really spoken to me and told me I was going to be a pastor. And I remember I was battling with the world. And one day I went out and I was getting ready and my mom was like, don't go. And I was like, I'm done. She said, don't go. God's called you. I said, Mom, I got to go. And I left. I went out that night. This is probably about 10 o'clock. I'm pretty sure you remember. And I remember this was 10 o'clock at night, and I came back probably about 2:30 in the morning. And I was trying to be quiet, but when I walked in, what I walked into was, God, you called my son. God, you've called him. You got a calling upon his life. And I'll never forget walking in, broken, empty. And all I could think about was the power of God. All I could think about was that I was throwing away my calling. But it was because a persevering mom that kept praying that I stand here today. Listen, mom, I got good news for you. I don't care where your son and where your daughter's at right now. You keep praying. You keep pressing. You grab a hold of that word. And when he tries to come and steal what God planted in your spirit, you stand because your blessing's right around the corner. The second seed that was planted fell on rocky places. Now, this refers to someone who heard the word of God, received it with joy, and then trouble, temptation quickly came, and the person fades away because they didn't have deep enough roots and their commitments were shallow. See, the word of God will often go out, and you got to know God desires to speak to us. God desires to meet our needs, but at some point, God will have you take the last step. God will have you commit to him as much as you're asking him to commit to you. God is never going to leave us. He'll never forsake us. But what happens is we say, God, I need this. God, I need that. God, I need this. And then we get there and God says, okay, here it is. And we're like, oh, I'm not ready. The seed fell among the thorns, and that referred to the worries. Oh no, I'm sorry, let me go back. The seed that fell on rocky places, that refers to a person that heard the word of God, received it, and trouble came and quickly fell away. The third seed that fell, the Bible says, fell among thorns. Now this refers to a person who hears the word of God, but the worries of life and deceitfulness choke the word of God out of their life. And this is where a lot of people live. The word of God goes out, but the worries and the deceitfulness of life tend to choke the word of God out of us. Now, you got to know this morning that you are a prime suspect. If you live in that area, the enemy's going to come for you. So that just means you got to position yourself in such a way that he cannot just choke out the word in your life. So you definitely need to download the podcast. Come on, somebody. You definitely need to be reading the word in the morning, at your lunch break, and at night. You definitely need to have conversations that talk about joy, peace, love. You definitely need to celebrate every victory. Jot them down. Post them up in your house so that when you're walking around, you can... Oh, I remember that scripture. Come on, somebody. You know, one of the things that my wife did for me the other day, I don't know what I was going through. I was in a funk. Who's ever been there? Come on, just wave at me. I was in a funk, boy. I was like, couldn't get a word. I was praying. I was getting up. I was reading my word, but I felt like I was hitting a block. And then I started questioning myself. That lying devil. I actually let him give me a Bible study. I did. He started saying things like, you can't do it. I said, what you mean? Oh, you can't do it. I was like, what are you talking about? Oh, you think you're going to grow that church? I'm like, well, yeah. No, you're not. And I'm listening to the lies of the enemy. You know, some of you give the enemy too much credit and you allow him to give you too many Bible studies. When I was at my peak, he would say that. I'd say, man, shut up. You're already out of my feet. I know the God that I serve. I stand on the word of God. Now, I understand you're the God of this age, but or the God of this world, but my God owns everything and gave you your place. And at the end of the Bible, he says you're thrown down. So in spite of what you tell me, I'm going to take the city. I'm going to preach the word of God. I don't care where it falls, but by faith I'm going to believe that God is going to raise up people that one day will go out, and yes, we might only have 50 people right now, but God told me, stay faithful, keep preaching, keep pressing, and one day, oh yeah, listen, this building, might be the gang center. It might be the youth center. It might even be for the men's home. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody, you got to get that in your spirit. Why couldn't the men's home take this over? Why couldn't we have this as their facility? We add a couple bathrooms. Come on, somebody. And our church is somewhere else where we can sit 6, 7, 8, 1,000 people and we have multiple services. Why couldn't some of you get up here and preach the word of God? Why can't some of you go out into Olympia and start your own church? Why can't God use your family to preach the word of God? Why not your children? Come on. Man, I get excited when I look at our children. Listen, as a matter of fact, I'm waiting for some of your children to grow up because I'm like, man, when they grow up, woo, come on. The faith of a baby, the faith of a child already singing, already preaching. Our future is bright. You and I, though, we got to stand and persevere. We can't allow the enemy to come and steal our word. We can't allow the enemy to come and blind us from the promise. We can't allow the worries to choke out the word in our life. We got to stand. We got to listen. We got to apply, because faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the more that you listen, the more that you apply, the greater the faith that will give you the ability and the effectiveness to do God what God has called you to do. Somebody give God glory this morning. Listen, I'm not talking about settling for average anymore. I'm not talking about just getting by. Too many Christians are just getting by. How you doing? Oh, man, I'm on the ropes. I'm hanging on by a thread. What you hanging on by a thread for? Right? I mean, some of you, look at the people around you. There are some people that have been standing for years. And I don't know about you, but if I was going to get into a fight, I got to go with somebody that I know ain't going to run. Some of us, we're hanging out with runners. We're hanging out with people that have the wrong perspective. I'm talking about getting with the prayer warriors. I got to find out who's coming at 5 a.m. That's who I got to hang out with. That's who I got to have a Bible study with. That's who I got to talk to, because I know they're rooted. I know they're not going nowhere, and they're praying for me. And when you get around people like that, listen, they will not allow you to stay average. I heard a successful businessman once say that if you want to be successful, look at what the majority is doing and do the opposite. Because the majority settles for average. But you look at playmakers. You look at, for example, we're in NFL season right now. You look at the men that are good players and the men that are great players and make a name for themselves. They don't just finish practice after practice is done. They put in extra work. They get with the quarterback. They read the play. They study. Why is Richard Sherman one of the best cornerbacks in the league? Because he studies after practice. He's known for his discipline and his work ethic. Now, I got an issue with his mouth. Some of you love that stuff. Oh, no, he got attitude, man. He talks crazy. I got an issue with people that talk. Don't be a person that talks all that jazz and doesn't back it up. But with a guy like that, he can talk crazy and it's a part of his game and he gets in people's mind and guess what? He backs it up. But it's his work ethic, his discipline, and his understanding of the game plan. My question to you is, do you understand the game plan, or are we being reactive, showing up to the game like talking about where am I going to line up, coach? Do you show, let me break it down for you. Do you show up on Sunday mornings 5 minutes before the service? Hey, pastor, where do you want me? Oh, come on, we're going to go there this morning. Can I go there? Or pastor, my alarm clock didn't, well, you told me that 3 weeks in a row now, your alarm didn't work. Get a new alarm! I'm not mad, I'm just saying, you know. But at least write down your excuses and not give the same one. Look at you. You're all like, who said it? Who did it? Who did it? Who did it? Who did it? Come on, somebody. What do I say? We're real people with real problems doing the very best we can to follow the word of God. We're going to have issues, but we don't have to succumb to our circumstances. We don't have to be people that become victims of what the enemy throws at us. Sorry, I kind of went off there. I'm going to get you out of here in a few minutes. You ready? Thank you. The fourth seed. When the word of God goes out, it falls on what the Bible says is called good soil. Good soil, it refers to someone who hears the word of God,
understands it, applies it, and retains it. Those are the actual scriptures in the Bible. If you read further down, accepts it, applies it, and retains it. This is why it's important when you come to church, you prepare your mind for the Word of God. This is why we have prayer before service, so that whatever's going on at home or whatever's going on at your job, you can leave it at the altar and get a head start before the message. You can come, leave your cares here, come early, pray, God, take this away from me, open my ears, or God, remove the distractions, allow me to listen, so that God can plant the seed on good soil. Too many times, we just get up, we change. The most preparing we did was we ironed our clothes the night before. Listen, that's not an eternal issue. Wrinkled clothes is not an eternal issue. Take those 15 minutes, come to prayer, ask God, prepare my heart for what you have for me. We will prepare ourselves for seed to be planted on good soil. See, this is discipleship. This is like teaching the nuts and bolts of what it means to be a Christian. Right? We got to read out. We got to read. We got to read when we get home. We got to pray in the morning. It's not a matter of just doing it when we're at church. But I'm talking about living a lifestyle that reflects a true disciple. Now, as we come to a close, when we allow the Word of God to fall on good soil, the good soil of our hearts, we produce not just fruit. The Bible says much fruit. He said, you will ask whatever you want. Why? Because you remained in my word. And you can ask whatever you want, and I will give it to you. And as a result, you will bring glory to God. And this will prove to everyone that you are my disciples. In other words, because you live out the word of God, you move at a capacity or effectiveness that is only marked by the power of God. Listen, some of you know I'm an uneducated man, but what causes us to be effective is not that I read, not that I study, not that I have a podcast, but that I depend on the Lord, that I know He's my source, He's my strength, He's the one that's given me the anointing. I'm just trying to be obedient. I'm just trying to stick within line. I'm trying to remain in the vine. I want to remain in Him as He remains in me, and as He speaks, I want to do whatever He wants. And some of you got to get to a place where you allow God to speak to you, but it doesn't fall on shallow ground. You got to allow the Word of God to penetrate your heart. You got to allow the Word of God to cut you every now and then. Come on, somebody. I'll cut you. The Word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. It's able to cut through every thought, through any circumstances. And when we allow the Word of God to fall on good soil of our hearts, understanding. Listen to this. This is heavy. And this, the Bible actually says this. If you allow the Word of God to fall on good soil, listen to what it says in Matthew 13, 9 and 12. To those who were listening, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given to them, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. When you allow the Word of God to penetrate, you're going to have an understanding and a perception for truth as it is versus what you feel. Sometimes our feelings distort or manipulate the truth, but when you allow the Word of God to penetrate in your heart, even when you're looking at the worst situation, you see it for what it is. And you can find God in the center, which will allow you to operate in peace, in joy, in love, in self-control, because you know the outcome. When we meditate on God's word and allow it to penetrate our heart, we bear fruit, not only in the good, but even in the bad. We bear fruit in all seasons of life. Just because we don't have financially doesn't mean we're not bearing fruit, because we're reaping patience. At that time is where we're reaping self-control. We're not going to give in to our integrity, because we got to come up and we got to need. But we learn how to persevere in prayer. Listen, Psalms 1 through 6 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits at the seat with the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters that brings forth fruit in every season.
you stick and you remain in the vein. And listen, you will produce fruit even through your circumstance. Because even in your down times, God will use that later on to birth a story that will give him glory. Come on, somebody. The word of God will go out, and when our hearts are right, it will allow us to bear the fruits that mark a disciple. And listen, it's God's desire to display his power in your life. It's God's desire that you walk in a way that's worthy, listen to me, that's worthy not only of your calling, but worthy to please him. And I'll truly close with this scripture, Colossians 1:10. And just follow me for a second. Listen to this carefully. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all of wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And for some, listen, it's now time to bear fruit. But in order to bear fruit, you have to take responsibility. You now have to step into the responsibility God has put in your life. There are passions he's put in your heart. There are things you know you're supposed to do. It's time to step up. It's time to get involved in the children's ministry. It's time to get up on the worship team. Come on, we need more singers. We need more sound people. We need to build the men's home. We need a women's ministry. Somebody to oversee the prayer ministry. We need somebody that will come here early and set the atmosphere. Come on, somebody. But I'm talking about all of us joining our forces to build God's house. And when we work together, there's no telling what we can't do. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as we...